next item is a work session, the sanitary sewer rate study. And now I know why there's Olivia Patton on there, because I just saw that Olivia Patton is going to be presenting this, unless Randy wants to start.
I can start just introducing Libby Patton. She has completed the sanitary sewer rate study and evaluated the current rate structure and its ability to meet the needs of the wastewater and sanitary sewer operation. The goal of the study was to identify new rate structures that distribute the revenue needs equitably among the customer classes. So with that, I'll turn it over to Libby Patton, and she will become the presenter.
Thank you, Randy. If anyone has, I'm zooming into this, but if you have any problems hearing me or you need to repeat anything, please just let me know. I am going to...
So far, we can hear you pretty good, Libby, I think.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'm going to pull up a PowerPoint.
Will you be able to link into that, Mike? Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay.
So really, Randy just explained, we put together this rate study for you guys. I'm briefly going to go through the approach we had and kind of the logic behind what we were looking at. Most of the time talking about the different alternatives for changes to the rates. The different alternatives really span the options, and that was kind of to give you a picture of where we could land on the extremes, where we could land in the middle, and we're happy to come up with other iterations of this as well based on your feedback. So what we started with was looking at your current revenue and your current expenses and asked the basic question of, are you covering your expenses? From there, we looked at the structure of your rate and if the intent was being applied. Like Nancy mentioned, we really focused on equitable distribution of the expenses. We looked to your future expenses, looked for inflation, looked for different projects you're going to want to be able to fund. And then with all that information, we targeted potential changes to your rate structure. So to start, we looked at your revenue. The average, your rate structure generates between $2.1 and $2.4 million every year. That's from all of your customers using your sanitary sewer system and paying your monthly sewer bill. For your expenses, you're hitting between $1.6 and $3.6 million. Now, fiscal year 1920 had a larger capital improvement expense, so that was the 3.6. Otherwise, in general, you are historically meeting your needs with your current rate structure. However, looking into the future, there's a lot of projects that you'll have to both maintain and improve your sanitary sewer system and to maintain and improve your wastewater treatment facility. And to meet those future expenses, we looked at what we need to do to increase your rate. So your current rate structure is divided between two customer groups. You've got your residential and commercial users, and you have your significant industrial users. Those users have a lot larger volume of wastewater that they send to you. So they do have a tiny rate block. Basically, because they send you so much wastewater, we're not charging them the same down rate that a household have. But you do give them a surcharge for the high strength to try and bring that equitable piece to it. If you look at the breakdown on usage versus revenue, that's where we can kind of start to see if it truly is being applied in an equitable manner. So your residential and commercial users take up 90% of the treatment volume based on wastewater going through your plant, and 75% of the organic capacity based on, like, when we talk high-strength waste, we look at BOD and TKN and TSS and all of these acronyms that Randy and engineers have to pay attention to, but there's the two sides of your capacity. One is literally how much wastewater you can send through it, and one is the constituents you have to remove. So your residential and commercial users are taking up 90% volume, 75% organic loading. But your rate structure has them pulling in just over 90%, 6% of the revenue. Now you have two large significant industrial users. from their processed wastewater stream, what they're combined using about 10% of your wastewater volume and about 25% of your organic loading, but they only bring in about 4% of the revenue based on the current rate structure. Looking at that current rate structure again, if we put together an average monthly bill using 700 cubic feet of usage, we ranked you with 18, you're one of 18 communities in the surrounding areas. And we're going to help put together this list of a lot of communities that you often like to have a comparison with. And you can see that your monthly bill is on the lower end. Right now, there's only 5 communities that have a smaller average bill. The reason I have Spencer with asterisks is that they also have a $16 ESO additive to that bill. So they get to, their users would get charged on average $31 to use the wastewater, and then another $16 to help fund their CSO projects. So in theory, theirs is actually higher than yours. It's just comparing apples to apples. Technically, they're 31 for strictly the wastewater rate. Looking to the future, what you're going to need to cover, we took your historical expenses from each category, and we assigned an increase. You can see we did percentages for labor administration, for services and commodity, capital outlay, and debt servicing. Those percentages took out to project the future for 2025, how much money we need for each category. That's something where, as you guys are looking at the full report or at this presentation, if you have questions about what we're looking at projecting needing, we could discuss if those percentages should be higher or lower. The CIP line, that's actually specific projects that the city has generated on this tab. So the Public Works Department has planned out for the next several fiscal years specific projects we'll need to fund with the sewer revenue from the sewer rate. So that line item is a little more fixed than the others. But this is how we took your historical expenses, we projected to the future, and we came up with the target of what we need to generate from the rate structure. So let's get down into the nitty gritty of what can we look at was trying to adjust the rate structure to make it a more equitable distribution based on those weighted percentages by organic loading. And that's the one where your residential and commercial users are only using 75% of the plant's capacity, and your large industrial users are using 25% of the plant's capacity. So we said, what would it look like if we changed your rate structure so that the revenue was the same? And your residential users were bringing in 75% of your industries were bringing in 25%. That's going to be the biggest change to the industrial rate. Step down was if you looked at equitable distribution based on flow volume, where your commercial and residential are 90%, your industries are 10%. So we changed the rate to make it match that. Again, this puts a heavy load on your industries and their increase. So we wanted to come up with some alternatives. We were really looking at bringing all customer classes to a similar increase. So one alternative was to increase residential rates by 20% and then have the industries jump up to meet the total needs. And then the final option was to increase the residential rates by 25% and then adjust the industrial rates as well to achieve our final future target. So we ran the numbers of what each of those alternatives would look like. This is kind of a living document where you can put in different unit rates, different minimum charges based on historical usage and spit out what it would mean to change things. So this first alternative, that was the target where we wanted your residential commercial users to be around 75%. We got it pretty close. We got it to 78%. For this, your rate actually came down for your residential users. But your industrial users went up by a lot. You can see at the bottom, we had a table where their old, your two really large users, their old bills were around $5,000 per month and $750,000 per month. But if we applied this rate structure, those bills would jump by 700 and 500%. So like we said, this was a large jump on your industries and it maybe didn't seem very practical. But if we did this, your monthly residential bill becomes even less. And now, because right now they're five communities that have a cheaper monthly residential bill, there would only be four. And still, Spencer has that $16 CSO bill. So in theory, there would only be three communities with a lower average residential monthly sewer bill. Alternative two, that's one with the flow distribution. We were trying to match about 90-10. With this setup, we got residential users to bring in 89% of the revenue and industrial to be 11% of the revenue. So your monthly bill for residents is $42 now. You can see down at the bottom, still a large increase, but the two significant industrial users are at 200 to 300% increase, which is less than the 700% we saw in the first run through. This, your residential bill is jumping down a little further. Now we've got seven communities with a less expensive average monthly residential bill, but you're still at that $42 line, which is very close to some of the ones that are over. I know I'm going pretty fast. At the end, I've got a summary table so you can compare all these a little nicer. But if you have questions, feel free to stop me. Alternatives three and four are the ones that see a smaller change to the industries. The first two were really targeting the theory of equity, but the concept of practicality was a concern for your industrial users. So that's where these came into place. This is the one where we said, let's take our residents and our commercial users and take them up 20% and fill in the remaining needed revenue with the industries. So with this layout, your residential and commercial users are bringing in 94% of your total revenue, and your industrial users are up to 6% of the total revenue. Your residents are at about a $45, $46 average monthly bill. And your industries are increasing, but this time by less than 100%. One's in the 80% range, and one is less than 50% increase. And when we look at the residential bill compared to other communities, we jump down to where there are eight communities with a less expensive bill. But again, at 45, Pleasant Hill, which is right below you, is 44.82, and Waverly is 41. You're still in that $40 range, which is very competitive. Final alternative was 25% increase. It's the same percentages when it comes down to it. On this one, residents are still bringing in 96%, industries bringing in 4%. But now if you look at your two industrial users, one is having a 50% increase and one's having less than 20% increase. So it seems like a more manageable increase for the industrial users. And in a similar spot to compare, you now have nine communities with a less expensive bill. But again, for all of these, Spencer is actually charging their customers around $47. It's just their true rate shows $31 for wastewater going. So this is kind of the summary. You can see what we were looking at as from the standpoint of equity from usage and revenue, but also what we're looking at on changing bills. So if you see right now, your residential user is under $40. You have one industry that's paying about $5,000, another paying about $750. And then each column after that shows alternative one would take your residential rates down. Two, three, and four bring them up at a varying percent or a varying amount. I know I went really quickly there, but what are questions or comments or slides I could go back to expand on?
Can we get this slide to us slash one?
Yeah.
The last slide.
I don't remember seeing that one.
No,
one. That last slide that you had up, Libby? Yeah, that one. That was the summary? Yeah. Maybe if we could have that one.
Oh, absolutely. I can send you this PDF of this entire kind of summary.
We got everything but this.
This just summarizes it, but
it's
all on one page.
It's all on one page, yeah. Do we, you know, and maybe, Randy, are you still on?
Yes, I am.
You know, I when we did the, was that wastewater or was it water treatment that we increased over a 5-year period of time?
When we did, prior to doing our last wastewater plant upgrade, there was a series of increases, yes.
Okay. That was for wastewater that we did that on?
Yes.
Okay. Did they increase the industrial users at the same time, or was it just residential?
That was primarily residential increase.
Okay, that's what I was
saying. I don't believe there was much industrial user increase during that time. This time is certainly to see the report, we'd like to solicit any comments, any other alternatives. Like Libby said, that she can drop in almost anything into her analysis and quickly determine the percentage increases, the amount of money that would be provided or yielded from the rate structure.
Could I guess I'd like to see a process where we had done that. Maybe we'd increase that, just every year. I think in one of these here, it was that 20% increase. If you increased it like 4% each year over 5 years, is that, instead of such a huge increase all at once from 1 year to the next, a graduated increase to go up to cover that at some point in time. I guess I'd like to see that. Can we see something like that drawn out?
Yes, we certainly can. I can put together, like you mentioned, a each year's rate. And like Randy was saying, we can try some other numbers other than 20 and 25%. If you'd like to see those in the comparison as well. Especially if you're thinking alternatives one and two are maybe not practical, I can kind of drop those off comparison and you won't have to look at 15 of these. You can narrow in and try
others. Well, you say that one and two, that to me, I think would be a big pill to swallow for the industrial users all at once.
I don't see them as practical.
Yeah.
When do we have to be at the final goal? How many years?
Say that again.
When do we have to be at the maximum amount? Like we did what Eric's saying.
Well, one thing I was going to point out, Libby, could you go back to the slide that has all the capital improvement projects in it?
Yeah, because I think if we have to tie something in, I think I would like to have that money sitting there to pay like what we did the first time.
And maybe Randy wants to speak to a little bit. I think there's a lot of unknowns in this, but maybe talk about what you see. I mean, right now, these are more planning costs for the nutrient reduction and copper compliance.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have to do actual construction, what are the numbers we're looking at? So realize what we're talking about really is not talking about those capital projects or capital projects that can take in those areas.
Right. Actually, we're certainly in the process of trying to establish what those improvements for nutrient reduction and copper compliance will be. And if you recall, we're in a multi-year testing process that once that data is gathered under the requirements of the DNR, that we'll be able to probably determine our final copper limits. And then if those copper limits are anywhere close or to where they are now, there will be some capital construction costs. And we're looking at that, more into fiscal year 23, probably, 22 and 23. So the numbers in this table were some preliminary numbers, the best we had available at the time, so we put them into this table. But in actuality, you know, we're still trying to determine what those nutrient reduction and copper compliance costs will be. And certainly when those are determined, you know, this will be the same method that we would use to back into a rate structure to provide that. And then also considering that you may want to do some bonding for some of those capital improvements as opposed to just cash payment for them.
How much longer do you have? I mean, how much longer is the DNR going to take before they let us know what we need to be processing correctly for purposes of whether or not we have to construct something or not? I imagine we'll probably have to construct something for copper. I think, to me, I guess that's kind of an inevitable. I don't know.
That's the one we don't want to construct for, but it may be inevitable. In all practicality, we'll probably have to construct for nutrient reduction. We'll be able to get the DNR some preliminary data for, I think it's nutrient reduction, within the next couple months. We've been testing nearly 2 years for that. But halfway through our testing, the DNR brought up another issue that we had to alter that, which we have done for the second half, the past year, and they may require us to go on another year of that testing under those altered requirements. Copper is, I think we have several months yet to get to the end of the required testing for copper before we can determine or give it to the information to the DNR to determine what those limits could possibly change to.
Are we pushing close to where we can process the organic material yet from what our capacity is out there?
No, we're not really. We have altered the plant processes throughout the last year, and we've gotten pretty reasonable that we can handle a future phosphorus limit, but the future nitrogen, total nitrogen limit, the plant will just not meet that. And that's why I say we in all practicality, we may have to do some construction to meet that nutrient reduction limit. And that's done by biological processes, which the plant is a biological treatment plant. There doesn't seem to be a copper compliance biological process. So if anything is added to the plant, it would be probably a major undertaking to add a process for that compliance.
So I highlight that because I think that's important. As I was looking at this with Randy, and kind of important point to me was, you know, this rate really isn't looking even at those really big future constructions. So we may be looking at even future rates. So as we look at how long you want to wait to implement these rates, you know, it could end up being very, you know, repetitive kind of rate increases down the road.
I thought that was kind of the theory why we did that before. We knew what was coming, and so we just started
looked ahead
and slowly incremented it, so it wasn't such a sticker shock to everybody.
Wasn't it like 5% a year for X number of years? I mean,
That was back when I was just first started on the council, we did that. Yeah. Do you remember when that was, Randy?
Well, more recently, since after the construction of the current plant process, we did increment up over a period of years, and that was kind of targeted, or those increments were targeted to getting the rate structure to a point where it generated enough additional funding that it could reasonably cover bond payments for some of these major capital improvements. And the rate structure is reasonably there right now, that if you were to bond everything, your revenue would reasonably cover that bond payment. And then, of course, in the meantime, what has happened is you have generated a pretty good cash reserve, of which I think by the end of this fiscal year will be nearly $4 million. And in addition to that, out of the cash reserve, you paid cash for the disinfection facilities that were recently completed. So there's been revenue generated, and it's been on target. We certainly want to, you know, utilize this type of analysis to keep it on target. Decisions to be made yet will probably include how much of the current cash reserve that you want to invest in these future capital projects, and then how much bonding you want to issue for these future capital projects, and then how much you want to work towards equitable rates. You know, the rates, this analysis has certainly shown that they're not equitable now. And should those efforts be initiated to start then toward equitability among the user classes?
Randy, when we did these rate increases that we just discussed, were we raising commercial or industrial at the same rate then as residential?
No, it was not.
Okay. It wasn't at all. So it was just residential that was increased? Is that my understanding?
I believe that through that series, it was just residential commercial increases.
And so going up, maybe we just do the raise the industrial over,
well,
do like a similar plan and raise, just raise
it on the historic background for the industrial side as to how they got pretty significantly lower.
Right. But we never raised them.
Right. And that kind of shows you why.
You could almost argue maybe we should put that rate on them now and bring them up. I don't know how much they're going to generate enough.
We couldn't raise it enough reasonably to make up for all that at this time.
No. Yeah. But at least it's on par to,
it's just, I wanted to
something like
know
this.
What
yeah.
Going on.
Right.
If we have to go to something for them, at least I would see some justification.
Okay.
Since there hasn't been
any increase to them, yeah.
It would be a way to start, you know, the equitability of the rates, certainly. And then, you know, there will be continued discussion on this topic, but you want to be thinking about, you know, how much of that cash balance that you want to invest in these copper compliance and nutrient reduction, you know, as well as what you believe the how much should be borrowed, debt finance, for the capital improvements.
But some of that information we won't know until the DNR tells us what exactly we have to do and figure out how to reduce it. It could be a $5 million addition, it could be a $20 million addition. We won't know.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Right. We'll find out as quickly as we can, certainly. But you're right. We don't know exactly what it would be at this point.
So would there be a process to be able to raise the industrial rates to make those more equitable without doing the residential rates for now and bring them on par and get that started, and then if we need to increase the rates to cover some of the costs that those are more than what we were thinking. We're going to do an equitable rate with the residential and both together. I don't know.
Sure. Those are all alternatives. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a question for Randy or Libby, but I do have a question. We've recently had kind of ammonia become an issue, at least with one of our industrial users. And I know Carol doesn't have a ammonia rate, but there are other communities that do. Is that something we should consider with any rate change of implementing in the city?
The DNR has recommended that the city put an ammonia limit on the industrial user. We do have a limit on low fee industrial user number one, and we have a fee for that ammonia contribution. Industrial user number two, there is no ammonia limit, but that's the one that the DNR has recommended that there be one placed on. So I think, yes, that's probably part of the ongoing discussion, is including that ammonia limit and then a fee to go with it in the rate structure.
And I think if the DNR is restricting us, I think whoever, we have someone that's doing what we're not supposed to do, I think you'd have probably better make adjustments for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the particular ammonia contribution that we've received has been unusual, and it's certainly under investigation. But it does add to the, you know, the fact that it needs to be looked at as far as a limit and probably a rate charge.
Does the industrial user number one, do they pre-treat some of their stuff before we get it?
They do. They do have some primary treatment. Does reduce their constituent load somewhat. They're still, you know, they have some violations of their pre-treatment agreement, but not as consistently as sometimes in the past.
So page 4-44 has recommendations in here. And I think what we've been driving at, and Mr. Mayor, I heard you allude to it several times, is you're wondering if we'd select one of the four rate increase alternatives to implement either immediately or to phase in with rate increases throughout the next 5 years. That phase in is what I'm somewhat interested in.
We did that the first time, and I thought that wasn't quite as painful, I think, to everybody. You know, when you go from a $35 bill 1 year to $45 the next, that's a lot to swallow versus, you know, a graduated process. I thought when that plan came forward, I thought it was very well thought out plan, and wouldn't mind doing that again if we had to do that.
I would agree.
But I think we just need to look ahead to make sure that we got those bond payments secured. That's what the whole idea was the first time.
And was that what you were showing in your projections for like 23 was bond payments, or was that just cash outlay only, leaving bond payments aside?
That was a cash outlay.
Okay, not even as a service debt.
Yeah.
An early estimate, yeah. I guess, on those. And then in actuality, that we had only included in there just the $200,000 for copper compliance. And that was really just the design work on it. It's so much unknowns right now for copper compliance. There is not a number placed in there for construction.
Right. Thank you very much. That's what I wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
So then you'd also want to know what our thoughts were if we liked alternatives 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I think.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Libby.
I was going to say, I think the first feedback of seeing what all these alternatives would look like as a phase in is absolutely possible. So we'll, I can add that to the report and kind of put together a little table of what that would look like. And then, yes, question number 2 was, are you feeling like some of these are more feasible than others? And would you like to see other alternatives? 3 and 4 is an end date increase of 20 or 25% for the residential users. Would you like to see 15 or 30? Or are you thinking 20 and 25 are probably reasonable to be looking at now?
Well, yeah, that's as you were sitting there talking about that, that question popped in my head. How did you come up with 20? Is that kind of like a national standard or a standard number, 20 to 25%?
Really, we were looking at the equitable distribution there. You know, our first goal was see if we can get the residential users only paying about 75% of the total. That's the organic capacity they use, and that actually brought your residential rates down and your industries up a lot, which didn't seem super feasible. So then right. Target 2 was 90%. And then we're trying to meet somewhere in the middle. And I'm noticing there's a typo on my table. I'll fix that. Alternatives of 3 and 4 both have residential users paying about 94%. So it was trying to get somewhere more than 90%, but not too much higher, and keeping it around the number. So no, but nothing magical about 20%.
About 20%, yeah.
You know, a 5% annual increase can be standard, but that pushes a little higher than 20%, obviously.
And one thing to keep in mind in looking at the table, currently under the existing rate structure, residential commercial is supporting 96% of the revenue. And in the alternates 3 and 4, that doesn't change much. The one thing that they don't change too much is the equitability of the rates. Now, they're certainly more reasonable increases for commercial industrial, but they don't address the equitability to a large extent. So it's an equitability versus total increase, I guess, question.
Yeah, perhaps seeing a phase-in approach that can maybe show us a way to close that gap to be more equitable, if that's even possible.
Yeah, because I wasn't aware that we didn't change the industrial users clear back then. I thought they came along with like everybody else did. But
yeah, I think your point, Eric, was that if we increase our industrials and leave our residentials be, for a period, maybe we bring our equity back into check?
That's what I was wondering, if there was a way to check that. Would there be a way to do that, Libby?
Yes, we certainly can, especially if we're doing each year. I think we'd want to come up with a target revenue percentage for the industries at the end of that 5-year increase, and then we could play around with it from there.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Five years work, Mike or Randy?
In projecting rate structures, I think 5 years is reasonable to project it out. Certainly, you want to take a look at it every year, even at the half. But it seems reasonable to work with 5 years. And actually, we have at times in the past had multiple year ordinances that were just approved, and then each year the rate stepped up. So that's an alternative to address it at one time, whether it's a 4% per year or whatever it may be, and just work that right into your rate ordinance.
That makes sense.
So maybe I'll ask a question to kind of phrase it a little bit better. you know, alternative three, and I think what Libby was trying to get at is for industrial user number one, that would have an 84% increase to their overall rates. For industrial user two, that'd be a 43%. Then you look at alternative number four, for industrial user number one, that's a 49% increase. And industrial user number two, it's a 17% increase. So kind of the question is, what is kind of the max tolerance council feels they want to pass on, even over a five-year period? Is it 10% each year? Is it 20% each year for 5 years? I mean, what's that tolerance level that you feel? I do think it's tough to get to alternative one and two in any time, any short order, but that's kind of the, I think, part of this to think about. How do we make that equitable yet financially?
How are we defining equitable? If the last two are not addressing the problem we're trying to fix, we need to define what we mean by equitable.
And to me, that equitable is going from the 90-10 use, or pardon me, 75-25 and 90-10 pay, and getting those numbers closer in order.
And maybe come up with something where we're staggering it between the classes. Maybe one kicks in at a certain time, another one kicks. I mean, if we didn't raise, when was the last time we raised the rates on the industrial?
Well,
I can't.
Yeah, because we didn't address it when we did that.
When we did that, they're on the commercial and residential.
Yeah. Randy, do you know when the last time the industrial rates were raised?
I don't know exactly when they were. I believe that it was probably back around the time that plant was built. So it's been quite a while ago.
You know, just as we safeguard the citizens of Carroll, we also safeguard the businesses. Have we had conversations with these two big users?
We haven't yet. The intent was to get this presented to you first,
right,
and then probably open discussion with those industrial users.
You might have to relook at it after talking to them.
That's my thought exactly.
Yeah, we need to look at our new calculations as soon as she comes up.
Do those calculations and then
The over 5 year periods, and then know what they say at the industrial users
and get some input from the industrial users.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because when I look at one and two, I think our industrial users are going to have a heart attack.
Well, you know, that's one of the things, Eric, that I'm interested to know. Some of them may have other businesses in other communities. Maybe they know they're getting by cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're accepting of some form of increase. We don't know until we ask and find out.
Well, I mean, number one, the first one, a 699% increase, that's going to be too hard to stomach, I think, no matter what.
There's no way to do
that. And I look at between three and four, and you know, somewhere between 49 and 84 and 17 and 43, is there maybe somewhere a medium in between that would work too?
Yeah, and then showing them that stagger over the years, mm-hmm. what it would look like instead of just that bomb being dropped.
Right.
Well, I think the question.
The bomb was prepared not for any sticker shock, but just to illustrate actually where things are.
And where things could be, depending on what action you took.
Yeah, it may be a super long-term goal to get to, but that's really equitability, and that's why it was prepared, so that you could see just where you're starting at, and then certainly we want to get to a solution on how to step some increases in.
Councilwoman Bass, did you have a comment?
I was just thinking outside the box of I don't know how often is it that, you know, your industrial users get asked what they want to pay. I'm just fair question, because I highly doubt that we ask our constituents what they want to pay. And I'm not saying that to be mean or rude, but no. I mean,
point taken. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. You know,
sometimes you have to do what you have to do, and
set your
you're
rate.
Not doing it to purposely gouge anybody, but we do have to get to the point where we can.
Well, I'm just fine with that, and I agree. I just don't wish to make the assumption that they'll be shocked or as fretting about this as we are. We may be more concerned about than they.
If we implemented an ammonia fee with user number two, would that bring their percentages closer in line with each other?
It would make a little difference, but I don't think significant difference. The ammonia that they contribute on a daily basis is reasonably acceptable to the plant, by the plant, and can be treated. It has really come to the forefront as a result of a couple of instances that they have really contributed a high levels of ammonia over a couple day period. And that's being looked into to see, you know, what the cause was. It's really unusual, and it's happened a couple of times in the last 6 months, but never before that.
So the ammonia fee is based on, it's not a flat fee, it's based on what they contribute to the system?
Well, we've tried in the other contributor to set a fee that similarly resembles the cost of treating the ammonia. And it's, you know, right or wrong, that was some effort made to do that. It is, those costs have probably gotten skewed a little bit, and obviously if they're now at 4% of the total revenue versus, you know, their contribution of flow at 10%. So it's will take some review and to try to come up with something that, you know, certainly works your way toward equitability.
There's probably a way for the industrial user to pre-treat. Is there a way to pre-treat for ammonia, Randy?
Yes, there is.
So they could avoid a fee altogether if they did something along that line.
Yeah, there's, you know, certainly the difference between the two industrial users is a difference in process of treating ammonia, but in the primary treatment that the industrial user number one does do, they reduce their ammonia some, and that's just fine. There are ways to reduce it more, but then those become business decisions, whether they invest in treatment at their plant or they pay for treatment at your plant.
Is there a set amount of ammonia that we can handle before we end up going toxic in our system?
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm.
We've
exceeded it twice.
Is there a magic number, or 10%, 20%?
Well, the plant is designed for a certain number of pounds of ammonia per day, and just like it is BOD in suspended solids. So it can treat up to a number of pounds per day.
Oh, okay.
Now, then those pounds get allocated, and certainly the plant was built with an allocation for residential, commercial, for industrial, and then for growth, because the council at the time was forward-looking and said, we want to build in this much growth in all the parameters, flow, BOD, suspended solids, and ammonia nitrogen. Now, there is some growth capability in the plant, and this compounds your decision. Problem is, how much of that growth do you want to give any user? Once you allocate that growth, the DNR actually takes it away from the plant capability. And if you had a new business come in, for example, that said, we need so many pounds per day of ammonia nitrogen capability at your plant in order to locate here, and you didn't have that available, then in order to, I guess, land that business, it would mean expansion to the plant. So that will be another decision that will come to you eventually, is how do you want to allocate this growth when there's a request for it.
I got a couple of things I'm looking here on these charts. One of the things, you have the percentage of increase for the industrial users, but you do not have the percentage increase for the small end users on all the charts. We would like to see that. I would like to see that to help determine. And then concerning what we were talking about before is you had the increases on the residential, but not on the industrial the last time many years ago. Is that correct?
That's what my understanding was.
So if you look at what we're at now, we're at 96% and 4% for the industrial. Chart 4 is the exact same, mm-hmm. but chart 3, you know, it's 2% more. So
I think that's a typo. I'm so sorry. 3 and 4, they're very subtly different, but you're getting 94% and 6%. But that there, you're generating the same revenue, which that is confusing. I will fix that in the morning.
Explain that. I didn't catch that.
That's a typo on.
On what one?
On alternative 4. It should say 94 and 6. So those two are generating very similar breakdowns in revenue.
So number 3 and number 4 are the exact same percentage, you're saying?
Correct, for generating revenue. And I can take these down to a percentage point if you'd like to see. So I'm sure one is 93.8 and one is 93.7 kind of deal. So you can see the subtle differences there. But no, that is a typo. I apologize. That's very confusing. I'll correct that before I send it to you.
So why is there such a difference then from the dollar figure when the industrial revenue percentage doesn't change? Or between 3 and 4?
Because we're looking at such a small quantity comparatively of the volume. So they get charged per gallon sent, and they're only sending 10% of the total wastewater treated. So even though they're seeing a much bigger jump in their monthly bill, as a whole, it's not changing our total revenue as much.
Yeah, the total calculated revenue doesn't really change. But maybe
I was looking at it.
$80,000.
I didn't know there was a misprint. So
yeah, no.
I would like to see the percent increase on the small end users, though, somewhere in there. You know, from 440.
Yeah, I think
I'd like to see it in a chart.
I think I need to get you some more tables. Like you said, one, I need to get you a breakdown of what it looks like as an annual increase for all of these alternatives, for both the residential users and the industrial users, if we say a 5-year target. And then also look at both a dollar increase and a percent increase for each of these alternatives on both the residential and the industrial users.
That sounds about right. That sounds good.
Did I see that we have no minimum use fee and other towns do? Is that correct?
You have a minimum use fee, but it's just one. And so there's not a separate one for your industry. And your minimum use fee is $8.85. Other communities are $25 to $30.
So like, would that be someone that has like a second water bill, like for outdoor use? Do they have a minimum?
Every account has that minimum fee.
Okay.
And I believe that minimum fee is also on those industrial users on their sanitary side. Their flows are twofold. One's their industrial flow, one's their sanitary flow. And in both cases, their sanitary flows are pretty small, but their account would carry that $8.85 fee.
Got it. All right.
Libby, as long as you're going to redo these charts, I'd like to see the percentages broke down to the 10th percent.
Yeah.
Libby, are you creating these in a spreadsheet, I assume?
Yes.
Is it possible to get them so we can manipulate, look at averages, that type of thing?
Absolutely. So I have a spreadsheet that has a tab for each of these alternatives. And basically it's linked in so you can change that unit rate, that 550. You put it in a new one, it spits up new average monthly bill. So I can send you these. I won't block anything, which means you can play around with a lot and you might delete some equations, but that's okay because if you save the original version, it'll always have that.
Yep. You know, I'm kind of interested in playing around with table 4-1 a little bit, the surrounding community comparison. And I see the numbers in there that I assume are for residential. There are different numbers for industrial use. Do we have any comparison for the industrial users
from the surrounding community?
Right.
So we don't have their pretreatment agreement, so we don't know how much the industries are spending. All we really can see is what their surcharges are. We can kind of compare that piece. We could, if there's a couple communities in particular you have good relationships with, we could call some and say, can you tell us about your industrial users? But it would really be at their discretion whether or not they want to shoot for that.
I guess I was just curious where we're at, if we're competitive or priced out.
I think you are from a surcharge standpoint, and the fact that you have a declining rate block. Not all these communities have a declining rate block. A lot of their industries are charged the same unit rate for volume that the residents are, and that automatically takes your bill up quite a bit. Because your industries are charged, you know, less than $1 per 1,000 gallon, where your residential users are at $4.41.
Mike, what's the time frame that we have to have a decision here?
We have time.
Okay.
There's no urgency in this.
Okay.
I want to be competitive. I don't want to be too competitive, though. I don't want to give it away.
No, but I think, you know, the equitability of it in comparison, I think is, you know, I guess I assumed that when we raised those rates, 5, 8, 10 years ago, that the industrial users were raised at the same time. They just did residential only, too. But
that should be checked into.
Right.
So we know an answer.
Correct. I mean, I don't want to hit the residential again and then, you know, not bring up the industrial user. I think those need to be altered at some point in time too. Okay. Any other questions?
I was just going to say, so I think you're going to expect some more information from me, and I can get that to you guys through Randy within the next week or so. And then if you'd like me to come back to another meeting and just kind of discuss the additional information, if at that time you have other iterations you'd like us to run, we can do that as well.
That sounds very good. Thank you again.
Absolutely.
Anything else, Randy, since you're still on?
No, I don't think I have anything other than, you know, if you do have any other thoughts on it, please get them to us. And the alternatives can be run and distributed. Not a problem. We want to, you know, keep this on the front burner and investigate all the alternatives that you desire.
Yeah, I think just to get that process going so we're not getting too far behind when the DNR gets a hold of us. So.
Right.
Because it's coming.
Well, so.
Anything else, Mike? Anything else or good? No one else has anything? I'll look for a motion to adjourn. Thanks, Libby, again, too. So. I look for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn. Second.
There's a motion and a second. We'll go ahead and vote, please.
Please.